supposed to lead us. He is here, but he's almost here. Acting DG, we from our side had felt that since this is the afternoon of our term as parliamentarians, it is important that almost all the issues and all the matters that we had touched based on, we tie them down so that we don't leave anything hanging if we can help it. We had engagements last year, I think twice or so, on matters that are relevant to our committee, which revolves around the finances of the department, or specific elements or aspects thereto, which we feel do need to be tied down. Of course, matters of irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, in their broad sense, but also in their specific sense. You recall one of the major issues we had concerns over has been the Giani project and everything around it, which we still felt do need to be spoken to. Amatole and a whole range of other matters that relates to financial expenditure. And our main interest is, well, to get the facts, but beyond those facts, it is what has been done, what is being done. I think for the better part of last year, we focused more on taking everything out into the open and say, this is what happened. But that was just the preliminary phase. It was not the end. Because at the end, it is how we deal with this element. Because these are matters committed by either omission or commission by officials. So I think that is the context. We are aware that the chair is empty because of last night. It's just part of the political reality, so it doesn't matter. I think we can proceed. Comrade Kekan, can I hand over to you? Yeah.
It's more of an ambush, but it's fine. Okay, now let me proceed, Chair. It was just on a lighter note.
Okay, thank you.
No, Chair, let me join you in terms of the change in terms of the leadership. Let's hope we would get stability in this department, because in your opening remarks you spoke about the number of problems that we've encountered in this department, and I hope going forward there would be stability that is in the department, because I think that is what we want as COPPA. Not that we want to fight with people. All what we are saying is there are regulations and there is the PFMA and people must comply. That is with the law. That's all what we are saying that is in this community. Now, maybe my first question would be, you spoke about the Giani project. We all know that 1.3 billion was incurred as an irregular expenditure. That is in the implementation of that project. And in our discussion sometime last year, we did receive some information and we requested the department to go back and come back to us, that is, with the actual, that is, progress, particularly on that project. That would be my first question, that how far are we in terms of that Kiani project?
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Chair, on our side, we have one new face appointment, the Chief Audit Executive, Ms. Emily Znezer, who wasn't here last time we met, Chair. Other than that, all the faces are familiar. For record purposes, my name is Susan Kizer. I'm the CFO of the department, acting as a Director General. With the question raised on the Kiani project, we have since received a closed-out report for phase one that was an emergency from our implementing agent, which is Lipele Northern Water. And at the time, we reported that 1.3 billion rand was spent on the project. The closed-out report indicates that the total for phase one will need about 2.5 billion. That will include the connection of the park infrastructure to the reservoirs. So obviously, once this is done and we have secured the budget for the next phase, because the work that needs to be done there is still other part of the work that still needs to be done, then the implementing agent, which is Lipele Northern Water, will go out on an open tender because that part is not an emergency. So that will be for the next coming financial year. But the closeout report relates to phase one, which is which was an emergency part. Thank you, Chair.
But we have enough money to proceed, that is, with the project. Because looking at your finances, I don't think it is you do have, that is, the money to proceed.
We will be able to complete phase one, but we do not have the necessary budget to continue to phase two. Hence, the implementing agent has not been given that directive until we secure the funding with the Treasury to go out on an open tender.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Maybe take us in confidence. So what is the what is the progress in terms of that, particularly on the second phase? What have you done so far? You are saying you'll receive a close-up report on phase one, and you are saying you are preparing, that is, for phase two. And my question was, do you have enough money? And the answer is not that is good. But I'm saying, in terms of the preparation for phase two, just take us through. What have you done? Or how far are you, that is, in terms of that?
Thank you. I'll attempt to answer the question, but I also have with me the DDG for Infrastructure, who's more involved in the project, who's going to also assist me. What we have told the implementing agent that for now, they must work towards closing up the projects that were identified in phase one. I think there were about 12 things that we're supposed to do, and I can confirm, Chair, that about 95 to 96% of the work has been done on phase one, including the reticulation to the villages that were identified that didn't have water, the hospital, the boreholes that were supposed to be done, the bulk pipelines that were earmarked as part of phase one. that has been done. In terms of phase two, is the pipeline from Nandoni to Tsami that's also supplying water to the villages along the line. That is part of phase two. That we have not yet secured the funding of it. But Chair, with your permission, I will ask the DDG for infrastructure to give more concise details in terms of what is it for phase two.
Good morning, Chairperson, members of SCOPA, colleagues. My name is Zandile Makatini. I'm DDG Infrastructure and Department of Water and Sanitation. I'm also responsible for implementation of the Giani Water Project, which is implemented through our entity, Lipele Northern Water. Phase one, as my DDG has explained, it entails the distribution system around the whole area of Giani, the reservoirs, bulk distribution, the reservoirs, the boreholes, the operation of the boreholes. That is nearing completion. We are sitting at 96%. We have received a closeout report. The phase two will mean taking this bulk water, which is the internal reticulation now, to the villages. The water is in villages, but now taking it to stand pipes. That is the challenge that we are currently having on both the Giani project as well as the Nandoni Nsami, which is taking water from Nandoni Dam right up to Giani. The bulk, that is also a bulk pipeline. Again, when we did the project, we designed right up to the household, but we could only, with the money that we had, we could only put a bulk distribution system. What we have done now is we are at the stage where effectively the engineering is on the side. We are looking at how do we mobilize funding. But it is also, we are also not now looking at Department of Water and Sanitation, because reticulation by its very nature, it is a Department of Local Government, of cooperative governance. We have embarked on a project with our MIG colleagues where we have looked at all the municipalities that are going to be affected. In this case, it will be Vembe and Mopani. And we are at the stage where we are looking, can't we collaborate? Because the challenge we are going to have is that when you look at their MIG projections for the next 2 to 3 years, they would not go anywhere in terms of covering that whole reticulation, making the main bulk distribution system redundant, and it may, at the moment, it is already a victim of vandalization. It's not vandalization per se. People are piercing through the pipeline because they can see water running, which means that we can therefore implement the reticulation process through your normal MIG and as well as WISIG processes. So we are looking at how do we then front load? Can there be a way that we can front load so that at least over a period of 2 years, the whole area of Vembe, as well as the whole area of Giani, will then be able to get water at once, instead of taking it through over 10 years. We have had meetings with the municipalities. We may need some political support from our political principals. We have elevated that to them because it's going to be business unusual. So at the moment, we are not going to move. We are not going to advertise because there is no money. But there may be money within the state coffers, but we are looking at how do we bring that money together. Thanks.
Okay. Let's look at what you have just indicated now in terms of your planning. I think you are correct that you are responsible for bulk and the municipality is responsible for reticulation. But my question is, when you were doing your planning, were you not aware of that?
We were aware, Chairperson.
Why didn't you make provision at the time?
That's why I'm saying we did make provision, because we designed right up to standby.
But
But if the construction
is... No, that's fine. I mean, you say this was an emergency intervention. Now, this emergency intervention does not take water to the people. Then what has it addressed?
One, it has addressed the issue of water in Kansani Hospital. It has addressed the issue of there was a package plant that we also implemented in the,
so
the area.
So essentially the emergency was Kansani Hospital.
It was Kansani, it was wastewater treatment works, it was the boreholes. People are receiving water because, remember, the boreholes were augmenting the source. So there was no source. There are, even now, people are, other people that are closer to reservoirs, they are receiving water. It's only those that are not, are far from the reservoirs and far from the pipelines, the bigger pipelines.
All right. Now that's fine. It's just that it goes back to his question. When there was an emergency and we planned to intervene, what was our plan? You know, because it's only now that we're starting to say, for phase two, let us start thinking. It was supposed to be 1.3 billion, it's 2.5, so you have gone over budget by over a billion rand, and still. So, I don't know, but continue, Comrade.
Thanks, Chair. I think exactly that was my question, because you have just indicated that there is a possibility of the community vandalizing the infrastructure that you have implemented. And that clearly indicates that is to us that there was no proper planning. Because if there was proper planning, obviously all stakeholders would have been involved that is in the planning and in the implementation. Now, if we are going to have that, we are still going to incur that is a lot of irregular expenditure. Because the infrastructure that we are saying it is already on the ground, if that is the community is going to incur that, we'll have to again get money that is to replace that infrastructure. That is, according to me, a waste of money. But let's look at the boreholes that you referred to earlier on. In our last engagement, there was an issue that is on these boreholes. My question is, what was the initial budget per borehole?
Thank you, Chairperson. You would not ordinarily have a budget per borehole because, one, each borehole depends on the depth within which you have to drill. Each borehole depends on the water that comes out of that, the quality of that water. It may happen that 5 kilometers from where you have drilled, you have a borehole that yields more water, but that water is not at the quality that it can be consumed by human beings. So that then makes the cost of implementing and operating a borehole difficult to say that you benchmark, but it will ordinarily be around 400,000 or 500,000. In some instances, you can get for 200,000, but the way we had budgeted for it, it would have been, it is the cost of drilling, the cost of equipping, the cost of cleaning the water in case where the water is not of good quality, and it would have been the cost of operating as well, post commissioning of those boreholes. But on average, if you look at our figures, they ran between 200 up to 400,000 per borehole.
Is it correct that you went up to 2.2 million per borehole?
It is not, as I have indicated, that it will not be the borehole per se. In other instances, if the way it appears, you would think it is a borehole, but in other instances where the quality was not the quality that it can be consumed by human beings, we had to then put package plants to clean that. So now, when you look at it in the figures, the way it is, it will say there is a borehole there, but that borehole, if it has a package plant, that package plant also comes with its own cost. It is not correct that if you talk about the borehole in the nature of the borehole when you're talking about drilling and equipping.
Why don't we take it more to the practical level? Because we're talking about Kiani. I hear your conceptual articulation, the variances that might be brought by a variety of factors, but specifically in relation to this Kiani project, because it has happened, you have paid people, there have been costs incurred. I would imagine you will be able to talk more in relation to what has happened. You put a ball figure of 2 million, you could say, well, maybe there were 3 or 15 that cost us in that region, but on average, it was 700,000 or it was 300,000. So that we talk focusing specifically on the Kiani issue. Because the last time we spoke, Comrade Kekani, if I remember, they had spent almost 300 million rand on the poles. And we were saying, okay, so on average, a borehole should be not less than 1 million rand. So now we're saying, can we unpack that so that we at least have a sense of how it has costed us?
As I have indicated, that on average, the boreholes were around 400,000. But when you look at that whole borehole project, as I've indicated, there were also some pipelines involved, especially the connection between the borehole and the package plant. That then is post a commissioning of what you would call a borehole. But on average, when we looked at it, it was around 400,000.
But I think the chair read my mind. That is why I allowed you to give me, that is, for a lack of a better word, I would say a story. You see, I'm specifically talking about Kiani here. If I talk about the breakdown, I talk about the breakdown of Kiani. You see, now, unfortunately, you are not responding to my question. You're just giving me that is a summary of an ordinary borehole. But I'm not talking about an ordinary borehole here. I'm talking about Kiani. Give me a breakdown. If you are saying you did, for instance, drilling, how much did that cost? If you commissioned, that is, maybe a service provider, how much did that cost? That's the answer that I want.
Thanks, Chair.
Not a general answer.
Chair, the 400,000, I am referring to the Kiani project. That each borehole, when you look at drilling and equipping those boreholes, when we did our analysis, it took about approximately 400,000. The other money is that when you look at it as if it's a million or so, that would include a package plant. It's in Kiani where we had a serious problem with water quality, where we had to put a lot of package plants. And as well as the connection between the borehole and the package plant, that is a pipeline as well. But as I'm saying, that the drilling and equipping of a borehole in Kiani, when we did our analysis, it was around 400,000.
When you did
on average, yes.
Yes. When you did your analysis, what was the actual expenditure?
The actual expenditure on the boreholes project. How much is it? Let me just check. Okay. Chair, I think the boreholes, I'm still looking, but they're around 165 million. Let me have a look at it. Do you have it there? Okay. Can I just come back? I want to check the figures here on the boreholes.
Okay, no, that's fine. But what is interesting is you've just indicated to us that you've got a close-up report. And I take it that you guys, you went through that report. You know everything that is in that report. And you prepared for this meeting. But let's leave it at that. The other issue, there was this Ernst & Young claim verification and validation.
Comrade Gigan, I'm sure you are moving forward on the understanding that they are still searching for that figure. Yeah, no, I'm saying you can go ahead, but it is not that we are stepping off that issue.
Okay. No, Chair.
All right.
No. They indicated that they are still looking at that. Obviously, there should be some consultation that is amongst themselves, because I can see they were not ready for that answer. I'm allowing them, that is, to do that. Now what is your suggestion? Can I proceed?
No. I would like you to proceed whilst somebody check on the figure. But I seem to remember last time they spoke about 300 million. So, but it's fine. Continue.
No, my other issue would be the Ernst & Young claim verification and validation. It was supposed to be completed by December 2017. Was it completed, or what is the progress, or what is the situation that is around that issue?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, their contract ended in December 2017, and they were assisting Lipel Energy and Water in terms of project management of the project. So it was completed in December 2017.
Okay. Was it completed? Because there was some investigation from that is Ernst & Young. That's my question. Well, on that validation.
Yes, they were doing verification and validation in terms of the work that was done on the ground. Yes, that work they did complete. Ernst & Young did complete that work, and that contract ended in December 2017.
Okay. You are in possession of the report now from Ernst & Young.
They were assisting the implementing agent.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That is saying, so they submitted their report to the implementing agent, and you do not have sight of that report.
No, I don't have it here, Chair.
There was an issue, but let me talk about that report. Now that you are saying you don't have that report, what is going to happen? Are you going to get a copy from the implementing agent? Or because at the end, you are supposed to be the accounting officer or the accounting, that is, department in this issue. Yes, you can request or appoint somebody to do work on your behalf. But at the end, the buck stops with you. You are supposed to account. Now, unfortunately, it is not acceptable to say, no, we don't have a copy. The copy is with the implementing agent. Because that's where we have problems as government, where a number of institutions that are doing work for government, they don't leave or they don't provide government with that information. And government is dependent, that is, on those companies. Because if you have appointed a company to do work that is for government, whatever they do, it is supposed to be, that is, that report should be a government's report. Do you agree with me? Are we then making an undertaking in this meeting that you will then, that is, get that report so that it becomes a government report, not an entity's report or maybe a service provider's report?
I fully agree with you, and I will make sure that we follow up on it and have the report in the department.
But why didn't you follow up? Why didn't you do this? Not enough to say to Comrade Kekan, yes, we'll do it. Why didn't you do it? give us your understanding. There is no, I don't know what's right or what is wrong, but I'm prepared to hear you out. That, well, we had budgeted 1.3 billion, we've used 2.5. Now a company went in to do verification on the work done, they reported. We had no interest in that report. We got a closeout report from the implementing agent, and that's it. Just wanted to confirm that. So yeah, that's how we saw it fit. Because now, if you say yes, we'll go and look for that report. But why didn't you do it all along? All right, completely gone.
No, thanks, Chair.
The other issue is on these media reports on Kato Civil's quotation for one of the reservoirs. It was indicated at some stage it was overpriced. And was it revised? And if it was revised, what was the initial price?
Sorry, Chair, on specifically on the reservoirs.
On the Kato Civil's quotation. On the reservoirs, yes.
On the reservoirs. Well, I am not familiar with what is in the media. I didn't see that. I only know what we actually paid, which was authenticated by our quantity surveyors and our cost engineers. Because when we realized that we're having a problem with price escalation, we sent those people there, and those where there were escalations, we revised those figures.
Are you aware that this is not the first engagement with yourselves on this particular issue? Because we raised this issue in the initial that is hearing. And you people said you are going to investigate that and you'd come back to us. But the answers that we are providing, it is as if you are hearing this for the first time. Did you forget that is the report of our previous engagement? Because my understanding is, in preparing for this meeting, obviously you could have looked at what we discussed in the previous meeting and the issues that we raised with you, where you promised that you'll go and investigate and come back to us. I think that was supposed to be the starting point.
When we realized that there were challenges with the quotations, as I've said, that our engineers were sent on the ground, they did verification, and where there were overpayments and where there were prices that were above the norm, they then revised them with Kato Civil, and those outliers were dealt with, and they were dealt with in the following invoices where there were overpayments. As I've said, that was signed off by our engineers and our quantity surveyor.
I think to appropriately respond to the question, maybe you need to start just where you're ending. That, yes, we had those instances, and actually be able to say to us, there were 5 instances or 7 instances, and these were the amounts that were charged, which we then checked and found that they were overpriced by so much and they were forced to go down. In that way, it gives us some level of detail. Otherwise, if you leave it at a broad and generic level, it does not assist to clarify his question.
In actual fact, that's exactly what I want. Because I thought that you guys, you went back and you did exactly what the chairperson is saying. How much was that is the overpricing that I'm referring to, and how did you correct that is the situation? That is the information that we need, because those are the issues that we raised that is in the last meeting, and you guys, you promised us that no, we don't have information, as you are saying, that is in this hearing, that no, you'll check and you'll come back to us. But coming back to us, you are not providing any information
You are still telling us the old story that you told us that is in the last meeting. Can we please get details of your investigation as to what is it that you discovered that is in your investigation, and how did you then resolve it? Because that's all what we need. But to tell us about principles, we are not interested in that.
Chair, that information is available. I can provide it to
you. But you see, when you come here, that is the information that we want. If you don't come with details here, then this engagement serves no purpose for us. I thought it is something that we by now have internalized. It is those details that we want, so that we can then have an interrogation on those details, on those specifics. Otherwise, we would not have called you again. Because like I said, last year we met, I think, twice on this issue. So we can't be going back to generalities. We have to deal with specifics. If you don't have that information, then we have no discussion. What are we discussing? Chair, I take note. I would imagine, without preempting my comrades, you budgeted 1.3 billion, and your closeout report says 2.5 billion. I'm sure my comrades are interested in how did we come to these escalations, which were the cost drivers in the entirety of the project that led to all this. So if you don't have those details, then we have no discussion. Yes. CFO, acting DG, Keith Kabaze.
Now, Chair, I was saying I do take note that we did not bring that level of details, but the information is available, and I will ask my colleagues in infrastructure that the information must be made available immediately.
What do you mean by immediately? Immediately, you mean in 20 minutes, in 15 minutes, or in 2 days or 3 days?
Chair, it can be during the session because it is in the office. I can avail it.
But want it in your head before you, because that should be the basis of the discussion. So I'm saying if that level of detail is not here, then what will we be doing? But I'm just teasing it out for you. I want to go back to Comrade Gika. And if it's comfortable, it's fine. We'll proceed. But yeah.
No, Chair, you're correct. Then it makes it very difficult for one to proceed, because one is not getting that is the answers that. I want, because the answers that I need don't lead, that is, to some of the questions. But unfortunately, where people would say, we do have the report in the office, it's so embarrassing also. Because my understanding is, if you get a close-up report and you are an accounting officer, obviously you'll have to look at that close-up report, whether it is a correct report or not, or you just receive the report, file it, and come to us here and say, no, I do have a report. As to what is contained in that report, you don't even know. When we start asking you about the same report that you claim to be having, no, I'll get it from the office. It is in the office. That's really embarrassing. I don't think that is the correct way of dealing with that is issues. But let's get that report. We are not going to leave here before we get that report.
Let's do this, Comrade, because that report must be the basis of answering your questions.
Yes.
And if they don't have it, Comrade Kikan, Comrade Ment, so you're raising your hand. Did I say Kikan? I wanted to say Comrade Smith.
Yes, you and Mint. Lengwa? Okay. Yes, yes, Comrade.
No, Chair, I apologize to Comrade Gekanda, but I wanted to support him. Chair, you know, the essence of oversight and engagement means we must talk the here and now. Now, to even give the department leeway to go and find the report and come back later on is just contrary to accountability and oversight. I think, Chair, what they must do is they must answer the questions, because we can transcribe here. If those questions contradict the written report that we get later on, then they must be held accountable for it. But they cannot come and say, we can't answer, the report is in the office. So I'm suggesting that they answer. If the answer contradicts the written report, then they must know that we're going to hold them accountable to it. Yeah. But we can't just leave it because they didn't have the report. Because what that means is that every other department will come to Parliament without the relevant report, and then we can let them off the hook.
Chair, thank you. Chair, we are going to have a problem, because, like you said, we have had interactions with the department for more than two times, if I remember correctly. We requested them to give us breakdowns, and those breakdowns should be the basis of our conversation and interaction of today. Earlier on, they were asked about the total amount of boreholes just for Giani, one project. That couldn't come forth. And we are still stuck there. We are trying to continue. In continuing, we're still getting nowhere. So the purpose of today is going to be very fruitless, because we are not telling the public anything in terms of what is the actual breakdown of the 1.3 billion. Accruals and everything. There's a whole lot of things. I think it's about three areas that we need to deal with. And if there isn't specific numbers, as we have told them to do in our previous interactions, then there's no purpose of them being here. We are playing. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Lengwa? Then I'll come back to Comrade Kika.
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm just concerned, because if this is going to be the case, then those of us who still have focus areas to look at will probably get the same answers. My only worry, Chair, is the department has been here before. They know exactly what is needed. So it's not new. It's not as if we caught them like a traffic cop when you're speeding and you just jump out of the bushes. They know that they're supposed to come here with that kind of information. So the question is, can be better than that if they don't have that kind of thing? So can you be clarified in terms of what information did they bring? I would imagine that there's laptops here which are here. Don't they have that here on their laptops? We can get them a parliamentary Wi-Fi connection if they want, and they can download it from their website. But why must we be given this runaround? I just think it's setting into motion a very bad precedent, particularly around preparedness, from people who've been here before.
All right. Comrade Kikan, I want to come back to you.
Yeah. No, Chair, I thought maybe you'd make a ruling on that one. Because, to be honest, I'm somehow frustrated. I think my colleagues are correct. Because my questions are based, actually, they are dependent on the answers they would provide. Because that's the information that we requested. You see, I would understand if this is new. We met, we raised these issues, you promised us that you'll come back. And you definitely came back. And as a team, we are excited that you will then provide us with information. But still, there's no information. You still need time, that is, to get information from the office. I think my colleagues are correct. Then what is the purpose of you being here? You have a close-up report that you have not even seen. I don't know whether you even acknowledged receipt of that close-up report. Or you hear somebody in the corridor that there's a close-up report. Then you come to us and say there's a close-up report.
All right. I think She had a hand up. Might assist us.
Thanks, Chair. I have received the information on the boreholes. The boreholes, they costed 329 million. Sorry. They costed 317 million all in all. They were in 55 villages. Each borehole costed 2.4 million. And that in that 2.4 million, as I had indicated, that it was the cost of the package plant, the drilling of the borehole, the purification plant, electrification from ESCOM, related infrastructure, civils and earthworks, as well as security that is taking care of those boreholes. But on the actual drilling of the drilling and equipment, the total cost in average was around 400,000, as I've mentioned.
All right, Comrade Kikan.
Okay, but that still does not answer my question. Because I said I need a breakdown of that. You cannot, tell me about one item and say the others was for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I requested a breakdown on everything, that ESCOM connection, all those issues. Because the figures that I have here, they must at least be in line with your figures. You said you've got the information, and I was happy that you'll now... That is giving me the breakdown. But you are still not giving me the breakdown.
All right, can we do this? Acknowledging that there will be variations here and there, can maybe just pick up two or three cases, say in this particular one, this is what drilling cost, this is what electrification cost, this is what purification cost, and this is how it gives us this particular total. Because see, my memory is a little sharper. I remember 300 million. And we had thought there were actually 100 boreholes. That's why we're saying, no, 300. That's why we're saying it means each one is about a million. And there were explanation about equipment being bought in Spain. That's why it is expensive. But I see now there is a much larger explanation on why the costs have escalated. So how do we come to that in terms of the cost? I think that can assist us to have a sense, because I even thought drilling a borehole is 20,000 or 50,000. That is the sense we have, Ronawago Bush. Okay. No, that's fine. If you have those figures, you could just assist us and say these are the sub items and these are how the costs were incurred. Obviously, they will not be the same everywhere, but maybe two, three examples. This is how it was, so that we have a sense.
All what the chairperson is saying, we want the justification of the total figure. And we can only do that if we have a proper breakdown. We do have this ballpark figure that you gave us. Unfortunately, it became an issue in the last meeting when that figure was raised. And we then said to you, whether you were part of the team at the time, I'm not sure. But we then said to your team, please go back and give us a breakdown that is of this, so that you justify that is the figure that you have given us. And that is why I'm insisting on this issue. Because we were given that is information in the last week, and I'm referring to the information that we're given. So that when we look at the total figure that you gave us, we'd be in a position to say there's justification or there's no justification. That is the reason why we want details.
Comrade Chair, welcome. Welcome. And comrades from the Portfolio Committee, you are heartily welcomed.
I don't know, maybe we should suggest a 5-minute break, because it's like we're on a break. It's just now lull, and the department is not responding. I think I have a concern, Chairperson. What is wrong? Because as you have correctly said, this is the third time that we're meeting with the department. And it can't be that questions are being asked and no one is answering, Chairperson. This is just not fair. Same officials who have been here last year, they are here today, and same questions.
Okay. Comrades, can we formally have a short break? Well, I think her concern is, well, we're effectively on a break.
No, Chair, we agree we're on a break. But we can't allow it to happen, Chair. You must make a ruling, or somebody must make a ruling and force them to answer. I mean, we can't be dictated by them not answering, and then we go on a break because they're not answering. I do think, Chair, you, unless you're going to have a small caucus with them, but it can't be that questions are asked and they choose to sulk. And because they sulk, we as MPs are then told to go and sit in a corner somewhere until they've made up their mind. It's just a waste of my time, a waste of my money, and I'm not talking about anybody else. It can't be. It really can't be, because this is short of contempt. And that's what I'm saying. What we should do is ask them to leave the room. For us to sit and to decide what do we do with their behavior. Call them back and read the Riot Act to them. Can't be the other way around.
Yeah, no, I think comrades, we're in agreement. I think the point here is we are refusing to continue with a discussion that does not provide answers, because to do so will actually be to justify obfuscation. That's why we're saying we're prepared to wait, not as a sign of giving in, but as an insistence that we need answers. And to us as COPA, those answers, joke, it's numbers, one figure. Let me give my comrade here, I'll come to you, but yeah. Yes.
Chair, I just want to support Honorable Smith, that we can't tolerate this behavior. And I also want to support his earlier contention that we should ask the department to respond as best they can and then test their answers. And if you're not on top of your game, we will know it and we will hold you accountable. See, I also want to point out that other than what Honorable Kakana is questioning on, I'm sure there are many other aspects that we can proceed on. I have a particular interest in a particular matter relating to the Deputy Director General, and I would like to ask her a couple of questions on. specifically. So I would hate that we end our engagement today without an opportunity to do that. I'm sure many of my other colleagues have other questions and other areas of focus. So maybe we either proceed as per Honourable Smith's suggestion that we say give us the answers and we'll test them, or we move to other areas of focus. I'm sure that this is not the only thing that this department has done wrong.
So,
thank you very much, Chair. With respect, the Public Accounts Committee's frustrations generally are the same frustrations that we sort of go through. But I thought let's agree with the proposal made that we have a few minutes, request the department just to move outside so that we can then share with you some of the issues that we have taken a resolution on as a committee in a BRR report, which the resolution has already been adopted by Parliament. And therefore, it will then be able to assist the way forward that the Public Accounts Committee may arrive at, because it's clear that we are not going to be able to achieve anything for now unless certain action had to be taken for us to be able to deal with proper accountability in this department.
Okay. All right. Comrade Mente?
You're fine. Content Patagambila. Last week, Sally Lelas, Kulumagli Committee, Sifuna Uwas, yes, especially Joba Sihamba, Siawi Oversight, told Lente Kur about Lenzin Dabai Kulumayo, Aishang Anana. Lomiango, this one talked like a man told no matter coniscope. Still, our phone was sneakers and lentole a sitting ayo. Usulanja in the Lula and you go to Mangagi and Mapo Hole. In the Lula Gamanya Mazu and Anno Manga Bernstein, who come this alumniango, lama officially, who go to Kukona in the Baz Fishayo. Tina sneakers got seven and a pesquas. Special if it's Kulumangento a man's at Interband. Yabama ngakuthatha ngihambe yobuka eGiyani oLimpopo uzothola last week sibine senza lento nisho manje ukuthi ake bephume bahambe babuye sebesiphathele ama anza kuningi esifuna ukuthola kubona imali isebenzile kodwa mawuhamba yakhona azikho naba bazizenzeni kusho ukuthi bona abalandeli umsebenzi kubheka ukuthi izinto ziyenzeka so ngempela ngisibona because so wesisikhathi sizohlala nabo la fana besiya kwamanye ama committee siyopusha ukuthi kusetshenzwe ngiyabonga.
All right. Comrade Kika, I'll come back to you. I heard you, Comrade Chilwan. It's just that comrades are suggesting that let's keep on probing. But I want to repeat, in the absence of details, it is a waste of our time. In the absence of details and figures and breakdowns, Comrade Kekan.
Okay.
I think Comrade Chair told you, did you end up?
I'm not sure. I think we need to make a decision at some point. We seem to be talking about the department having to leave us. But what I would have wanted also to, for purposes of us moving forward, the department also having to clarify itself with respect to the figures in relation to whether they have to do with irregular expenditure or fruitless and wasteful expenditure. their understanding as it relates to those specific areas of the meaning of irregular expenditure and the consequent management related to such. When the department comes back to us, as they are to talk about responding directly to all the cost implications, their understanding of that irregular expenditure in relation to consequent management, equally their understanding of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the figures attached to such, insofar as cost implications are concerned, and also the consequent management in relation to their actions. I just thought, let's also be, as part of our way forward, emphasize on that point about their understanding of this irregular expenditure and the consequent management insofar as the spends are concerned.
All right. I want to give Comrade Kekan, but you see, Comrade Smith, my take is that we agreed as a committee that we want to tie down the issues that we discussed last year with the various departments. Our hearings are more like follow-ups. And if our discussion here cannot give us the level of details that assist us to tie down all those loose ends, then they are not assisting us. And I'm personally a bit reluctant to proceed at that level unless we agree that next week, because there are issues, some bit of challenges with SA Express and SAA, because their annual reports are not yet in. We agree that they come back next week, but go and deal with the figures. Come with the figures, and when we say the overpricing that Comrade Kekane asked about, you must be able to tell us we had 11 instances of overpricing. This was the price. Our engineers came and said, no, you are overcharged by 1 million, and then it went down. That kind of level, the boreholes, 317 million, it was so many boreholes. These are the areas, Chauke knows all those villages. These are the areas where we put the boreholes. This is the breakdown. It was the installation, electricity, the security, the purification, the piping. These are the costs. We had budgeted 1.3 billion. It's now 2.5. Why this escalation? What was the cause of this escalation? What were the cost drivers in each of the various categories? By how much did it go beyond what was originally planned? In that way, you will now be giving accountability to Parliament and not generalized statements, because they don't say anything. I'll come back to you. I just want to check with my comrades in the committee first and foremost, because I just worry that where's today's program? Focus areas. Well, I want to copy with the focus areas. It's not here. It's not here. So that we otherwise we'll be doing what we did last year in the last two hearings. We'll just be talking to general statements, and yet we want specifics. There is this issue of Amatole coming, the overpricing. We want to get specifics. The issues of overpricing generally. We need to get specifics, because without specifics, we're not doing anything, acting DG. Without specifics, we're not doing anything. So I want to check if we can move in that direction,
so that when we sit, we know we're really getting to. Lengwa?
No, Chair. I think, well, as unfortunate as it is, I think I agree with you that then maybe they go. But I think we need to agree on the following, Chair, that somebody needs to carry the cost for this. I am all for making useful use of public funds. Because all this becomes a junket to try come and hoodwink us here with generalizations in the absence of clear answers, in the absence of detailed information, because somehow the norm in this department is that you come and speak in general terms. You know, in Zululand there's a water problem there. Some business people are drilling boreholes there at 80,000 rand, 120,000 rand. So we are desperate to get the detailed information of how is it that these things are so costly when it comes to the department. This department is on its knees. Its finances are not in a good state. And so this kind of wishy-washy, flip-flopping kind of responses have arisen precisely because of that. There's a lack of accountability by all standards of measures here. So, Chair, if we agree that they go, one must know who must shoulder the cost for this thing, because the taxpayer cannot be expected to shoulder the cost of incompetence. And if they come back next time again with this kind of attitude, we apply the same until they get it right. But it can't just be a freeway.
All right.
Chair, you know, well, whilst I applaud Honourable Shengwa's comments, the reality is that no one here is going to pay for the costs. We don't have the mechanism to do it. My concern, Chair, is that this department has come down today at considerable cost to meet with us. Is there no other work that we can handle in this city? I'm not saying that we shouldn't meet with them next week to handle the matters that Honourable Khan is asking on, but is there no other field that we can traverse this morning relating to this department that would be of use to SCOPA? Because I certainly have some work I'd like to do. So the point is, Chair, are we going to limit ourselves entirely just to Honourable Kakana's questioning at great cost of having this department? We're here until at least 1 o'clock. You know, we paid to be here. Can we not traverse some other work and get some other work done and show the people of our country that we strive to be efficient and not just leave matters when we have them here? Thanks, Jeff.
Ross?
Jefferson, yeah, my remark is just with regards to the efficiency of what we experience today, which is unacceptable. And normally there would be a political consequence for this. Now, we see that the minister has been shifted to communications, and that Mr. Nkunti will now take charge. And of course, it's unfortunate that you can't ask the new minister any information and have political responsibility. Because if you see the level, and my colleagues has indicated it today, that we see the level in terms of deterioration in financial management and the problems of going forward as a going concern. It has been well documented today by my colleagues. But, you know, the challenges that we move towards in terms of water and sanitation, where we see the limitations of supply to numerous municipalities, where we see in specifically in my province, about 20 towns without water currently, there's a huge responsibility on this department. And those are issues in the broader terms that we would like to also have them to be on top of their game if you ask them questions, because it's central to efficient management that they know what is the budget for the department, what was the allocation, why was there unauthorized expenditure that increased to that level, why is there irregular expenditure, and certainly we're entitled to those informations. But I would like to support you, Chair, in the direction that you move towards, to say let's have a proper hearing on this. Let them come prepared in terms of a holistic approach, but also so that we can drill down into the details. Thank you.
Okay. Comrade Chilwane, Comrade Vincent, Comrade Mente, let's see if we can also...
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think we are in agreement to your proposal. But the challenge that I have, Chairperson, is that the department is going, we're returning them for the third time. Remember the last two hearings that we had. It's the same procedure, same strategy, I think, that they are using, that they decide just to come here, just to comply that they are here, but they are not able to give us answers. I don't know in terms of the rules, Chairperson, in terms if people take, we subpoena them. I don't know how do you subpoena them because they are here. That is why I'm saying it's the same kind of strategy that they are using, because they come here and then they decide just to keep quiet, not to give us answers. And we find ourselves just running around the circles. I think the portfolio committee has requested an investigation or an inquiry, something of that sort, because it's the same attitude that they are giving to us. And for us, Chairperson, just to shift our own program, just to accommodate them, I think it's not fair for Parliament. Because today they've decided just to keep quiet, and then we say next week we must shift our program because they've decided to keep quiet. I don't know, Chairperson. That is why, hence, I'm going back to my initial proposal that maybe it was good if they just walk out of the room and then we decide what is it that we can do with them. Or, I don't know, but I'm really kind of frustrated because they should give us the accountability. I mean, the department is known that there's too much mismanagement of finances in that department. But now they are unable to give us the answers.
All right. Comrade Smith and then Mente. Comrade
Thanks,
Khan, is your hand up? Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chair. I very much in agreement with what colleague spoke about now. And tying it up with what Comrade Chauke and Chair has said. What I do think, Chair, is that we must ask the department to go and stand outside for 10 minutes. I'm honestly suggesting we allow them to go and stand outside. We get a briefing from the department, from the portfolio committee, in terms of what their thinking was. Marry it to our thinking, bring them back, Chair. And when they leave here, they leave on clear terms as to what is it that they must be expected to do when they come back. The second point that I want to make, Chair, to respond to Honorable Tim, is that I hear what he says, that they're here. But I really don't think that we should go on malicious compliance because they're here, let's work. They clearly came here not to work. So I don't think we should just continue with them because they are here. Let us take a decision as Parliament, because we can take a decision, and call them back and tell them exactly what we expect of them, and then release them. Thanks, Chair.
Complete Mente.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chairperson, earlier on when I said I don't know if I'm covered, I thought you were going to respond to the request of the Portfolio Committee, because it looks like the frustration we're having is the same frustration they are having. But upon perusing the documentation that I'm having here, it's not going to take us anywhere. In fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure, in terms of the descriptions and the breakdown of who booked a flight, going where, what happened to that person, it's not there. It's just saying goods and services traveling. No, confirmed Auditor General's finding. Confirmed what? Done by who? So that is the root cause of all these things. So I agree with what Comrade Vince is saying, that can they move outside? We identify all these areas where we want the detail to be as clear as possible, and then we give it to them. They bring it back to us next week. Because I think now we have to treat them at that level of preschool. It must be R-A-E-O-U like that. Because we have told them these things, they didn't bring it. So let's identify it once more and give it to them.
All right.
In areas.
Now, Chair, let me reserve my comments. I think let me align myself with Honorable Smith's proposals. Let's have a 10-minute break and let's have a discussion amongst ourselves. We'll then be in a position to come up with a way forward.
All right. Acting DG, can we make that humble request? Tumbi,
Where is the topic? Is V475 occupied? It is occupied. Oh, okay. That's fine. Can we request that maybe just give us some bit of time outside? I'm sure it wouldn't take 10 minutes. And then we can then jointly agree on how we want to take the process forward. And then in the first instance, would allow Comrade Johnson, Chauke, the two leaders in the portfolio committee, just to briefly say to us, this is where you are at, or this is where you are at, and this is what you think we may need to do. Comrades, please. To talk to us pointedly, because as I understand from Umama Makaula, you had an engagement with the department last week, so your experience is still very fresh and probably relevant to our engagement. As I said at the beginning, this is a continuation of the hearings we had last year. Now, we felt that there were areas that were not properly tied down. There were still gray areas around which we needed clarification. That's why today's session could not be on generalities, because we have gone through that. We want specifics, and I think we were experiencing some glitches there. Comrade Chair?
Thanks, Chair. The issues are many, and they vary. They vary in terms of degrees. Maybe to start at almost at the middle of them all. It is last year, beginning of last year, when we were engaging with the department on the accruals. At the heart of it all was a question as to how will they be able to cover for those that were expected to be paid in the past financial year, that was 16-17. Out of that, we got almost three sets of responses, different. And clearly they were all pointing to one direction. That direction that says your grants were going to be the target, whether conditional or unconditional, wherein they would then have to make all of those payments. As a result of that, the AG's office is here. We hear lately that the AG has submitted a letter to the department for the department to be able to say, yes, they are or not a going concern, which is quite a very serious one. In addition, as if it was not enough with the accruals, the department illegally went for an overdraft with the Reserve Bank. How much was this again? 2.9 initially. 2.9 billion rand. An act of illegal submission on the part of the department, also having double-checked with the National Treasury. Now, there are specific recommendations on the BRR report that are very pointed. They are pointing out to two specific areas, three in fact. One, that of having to talk about a need for a hearing, and also a process for SIU that shall also end up with your National Prosecuting Authority. Because we believe quite strongly that there have been all sorts of shenanigans that have been taking place. And perhaps the last point that we are at now as we speak, which we are continuing even tomorrow. We also took a very keen interest in the organogram of the department. How are they structured? I must say that we started this process since last year, and the department has been ducking and diving on this one until we managed to pin them down in the past 2 weeks. And what came out of that process is quite shocking. On one hand, you have a department that has got five programs, but in actual sense, for your divisional heads, you've got about nine of those. As if that is not enough, you also have an additional two deputy director generals, which are not featuring in your organogram. We took it further, wherein we had to ask your qualification of your DDGs. That will be shocking. That was shocking. You have one DDG who has a matric. You have one other DDG who has in a water space a Bachelor of Arts degree. So that would give you a sense of what you are dealing with. So that's how far we have gone. If there are any additions, Mr. Chauke, Mr. Basson are here.
Okay.
In summary, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Chauke.
No, thank you very much. I think the Chair has really put a number of areas forward. But what I'll tell this committee is that the four DDGs were suspended last year, and they were returned back without charges. Right? Program 3, which is your infrastructure program, it has an allocation of about 13 billion. The department in the last financial year met only 28% of the APP, but more than 16 billion rand has gone spent, and there's no accountability for that money. In fact, where we are sitting, in fact, there's no accountability in that department. The fact that you have a program called War on Leaks, a well-known program, is not APP. It's not in the APP. There's no accountability on that program. And the department has spent 1.2 billion in that program. So what we'll say, Chair, is that the exercise that you are embarking on, you're not going to achieve anything, except the fact that we have to take a decision. And that decision is either we do an inquiry, which the committee recommendation that has been adopted by Parliament is for a full investigation into this department. We may want to add further, in fact, that with the point that is now made by the Auditor General, that in fact this department is a going concern. There's no department, to be precise and honest. You know, so the fact that we'll want to call them 20, 30 times to appear here is just waste of time. They are not accountable, it's very clear. They have spent money, and they cannot account for that money. So what do? You, firstly, the point that the chair is making, that what does PFMA say? It says you must investigate. That's the only thing that we must do now, is to get the support of Public Accounts Committee to support the resolution of the committee that there must be, in fact, as we speak, there's current as we speak, a special investigating unit is investigating the very same department. Proclamation has been signed by the president. So it's clear that you're dealing with the highest level of corruption, to be very honest with you. So the support we'll want from you is to endorse the point that the chair has just put forward, that the point that he was making about two DDGs is two CFOs in the department. They have appointed someone again on top acting. Now, you have three CFO in that department, to be very honest with you. It's chaos. There's no leadership. The Director General was suspended not long time ago. He's now being taken away somewhere in some department. So it's chaos. There's no department there. The point we are making is that let's get the support, let's put a full investigation into this thing, and those who have stolen public money, they must account for that money.
Okay. Thank you. I just want the two of them from the portfolio committee to briefly add so that comrades we can decide how we move forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, Honorable Chauke just mentioned it, but even the DG was suspended. And when they found out that the minister had no right, the minister suspended him, found out that the minister had no right to suspend him because it was not delegated to the minister, they then made a deal with the DG and he's transferred to COCTA. He's now the DG in COCTA. And last week we asked him, we want to know what was the charges against him. They don't want to give it to us. They say that they must get, there is a agreement between the minister and the DG, and they'll have to get his consent to give it to us. So we don't know what the reason was for his suspension. We've heard the rumors. And the rumors are that the minister wanted him to appoint an attorney, a firm, which he didn't want to, and then she suspended him. Werkmans. So I agree. The portfolio committee already to Parliament requested a full investigation, and I think if you could support us, because there is, it's like the chairperson says, in each and every field in that department, there is a problem. Now, this year, the minister took a decision in this financial year. There's no assistance to any municipality. So if there's a problem, like in the past at the municipality, they went in, they rectified. She bluntly said, I'm not going to allow that because I don't have funding. And the main reason why she don't have funding, because she had to pay her accruals out of this year's budget, 5 billion. And all projects, big projects that did not start, was scrapped for this financial year. She stopped the Clem William Dam. They spent 151 million there to site establishment. They used 530 million rand to buy out property, and the project is stalled since 2015.
All right. Okay, thanks. Mom?
Ngibonga nje noma amalungelo lami ngiphuciwe namhlanje, kodwa ke ngizoyishayela nje ngomageba wami.
Iwaphi amalungelo, mama?
Amalungelo okuthi ngikhuluma ngolimi lami, kodwa bekho labantu afana bazotolika, kodwa ke ngisho luthoka. No, into engisho la, ngiyabonga ukuba khona kwenu uhlalo. Into engithandayo ngani umsebenzi wenu, kufuna phela sincome, ngiyawubona ukuthi nizimisele ukubona iparlamente lenza lento eliyithembisa abantu phansi. Uyabona lo mnyango lwaka water and sanitation. Ulidwa zigebengu. I'm sorry to say that if mhlambe kungavumelekile, ngiyakusho ngiyakuphinda. Ngoba njoba besho nje. Uyabona la kulo mnyango since ngingenile ngo-2014. Kudlalwa lento ebizwa ngodumjika Joe. Kufika lana kufakwe lo. Kubonakala ukuthi okay lo, ayi mhlambe sezobanjwa. Akhishwa fakwe lo. Bonke baya act. Yabona ngijabulela lento eshiwo u-honorable person yokuthi uminisi usenzele ibukayo la novela osifikela nomthetho sethi nje komasipala azangeni. Yena usezoyigcinela, usezoyidilela namabhodi. Into ebuhlungu lana, yabona lento okuthiwa i-oversight. Ibalulekile, but into engangisho ngifika la ukuthi kuba kuyangami, ngaba silohlala laphansi. Ngabe siyabathatha labantu sambe nabo ngoba uyabona zonke lezi zinto Chairperson abakhuluma ngazo azenzeki, but izimali ihambile. Njoba ngikhuluma na kunabantu baseNandoni Dam, yes, laba basuswayo. Labo bantu from 2014 ngifika la eParliament. Bebefika bezokhala. Tell lana sesibabambe elokhuzeni kanje. Sibabambe lekhona into, ngeke sitshele ngalabantu esinele beze ukuthi siku-oversight bafika. Bazokhala ukuthi basuswa, kodwa baze banxaphezela. Wagcina u-DDG, uZandile Mathe, esekuveza ukuthi kukhona imali ewu-30 million efanele abinikezwe labantu. If sibuza ukuthi abanikwa ngani, ayikho i-answer. Exactly le nto enibuza ngokuthi how many boreholes alapha eGiyana bangafuni, ayikho into ekhona. Mina ngokwami bese kuthi lolu daba ngoba kusho ukuthi sizolo sigidagide entweni kuyi-1 and abantu phansi babekho. Yabona enkandla what 11 abanawo amanzi. And uma uthi uyabheka konke kompangela amabhohole akhona, sababuza umbuzo oyi-1 ukuthi la mabhohole enihambe niwafaka angenamanzi, ubani obenefitha ngawo? Ngoba akhona even ama-standing pipe akhona. But masuya wekho, manisaxoxa lana benenzela i-presentation la even nanti. Bese sibuyele kula bantu okuthiwa ama-auditor. Ama-auditor nawo futhi ngelinye ilanga kuyofuneka ezo-akhawunta lana kunina. Ngoba aqhamuka azokhuluma ngani? Ngo-clean audit. End of the end uthi uyabheka lapha, iy'mali zonke zisebenzile. Yabona uma uphuma kwi-oversight ubuya kuthi kala sihlalo. Indlela obona ngayo futhi lento futhi ihlasela kakhulu abantu bakithi. And laba akukho bakudedela imali, mangibheka mina bayidedela phezulu bayoyinqaka. Lilonke nje ababoshwe labantu, bese ngibona ukuthi manje ngoba u-SIU ufikile kuleli komiti, kwakhulunywa size sithembe. Manje ngiyiboni mina into ekulolo sikhuluma ziningi izinto, siya kuma-election next year. Funa siye kubantu. Abayinto yokuqala bazosibuza amanzi, sothi senzeni. Ngeke mina bese ngilokudala alithathwe luye phambili ngoba nani abanihloniphi bayanidelela. Ngiyabonga.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, comrades, we've heard from our comrades in the portfolio committee. Benity senzeni. Just want our brief input suggestion. I'll start from comrade Mente and come this way. And I'll stop in the Free State with Ross. Yeah.
And go to Chair. Kune progressive suggestion.
as a chair of portfolio committee inquiry into all these costs and expenditures. But then kunale eyodwa nje enenzela inhliziyo ibhlungu, because I'm from SAPS. Once ukuthi illegal something, then that's a criminal act. Uyoboleka imali ku revenue fund and then uyenze illegally. I think that's the reason why Sibizo Hawks to come and sit here with us. So I do not know how we go about it, but I think between the two chairs, we need to have a criminal case that's handed over to the Hawks. Because if we are harboring tax and keep them through the inquiry which is going to take for this whole year, and by next year when we discover everything and finalize the inquiry, they are either gone, taken the money, and nothing will ever happen to them. So we can have an inquiry, but we need to have a criminal case.
Okay.
With all the projects, all of them.
All right.
Thanks.
So, Emma?
Oh, Nazo. Excuse me. Chair, no, I think the portfolio committee is helping us quite a lot, because they are affirming what caused us to have this rerun. The former minister sat there and defended all of this to hell and back. And I think today the problem is that you have departmental officials with the rug pulled under their feet last night because the protection is no longer there. So I think that to continue, Chair, like I said earlier on, is not going to help us. These people are hell-bent on not responding to questions. I think let us support the full parliamentary inquiry. And Honourable Smith was just sharing with me something that happened last week. I'm sure we all heard about it. That marathon SCOPA meeting in Northwest Legislature, and so on. Chair, at some point, and maybe this would be the opportune moment, we need to lay criminal charges as this committee and as Parliament, and not defer the responsibility. To have the Hawks here, yeah, that's good, that's fine. I appreciate their cooperation. I think General Matagata and his team have been very cooperative in availing themselves every time we've needed them. But, Chair, I don't think it would be fair for us to finish this term without having had somebody walk the plank at our initiative. So I'm suggesting, Chair, yes, let the inquiry go on, but we've got a lot of information before us. Let us lay charges against the relevant people. Let's work with the portfolio committee and strengthen their request for an inquiry, so that at the end of the day we get to the bottom of this. We raised this matter long ago, but the department doesn't have money. At some point they did not pitch for the meeting and so on. So I really don't think, even, you know, if we continue here, Chair, it's going to be a malicious compliance on our part. It might be a cosmetic exercise. Let us drill deeper into it and actually, and I know Honorable Brothers has got information, he's got things that you want to probe. I would believe those are the things that you must drill into the investigation so that they actually find space in a manner which is going to result in consequences and not wishy-washy responses.
All right. Comrade Smith.
Thanks, Chair. Without necessarily repeating what colleagues have said, I support it, Chair. Maybe to emphasize that I think as a committee we should formally support the proposal that the portfolio committee is embarked on. I think we must formally support it and therefore freeze all our activities with regard to this department whilst that is going on. That's the first thing. The second thing, Chair, you know, there is prima facie evidence, besides what is being said here, of real problems in this department. And the only thing that I'm worried about is this inquiry will obviously take time, 4 months, 3 months, 6 months, whatever the case might be. how do we short-circuit that? Because my view, Chair, is that an inquiry should not stop. And I think this is what the President has said also, that this commission of inquiry that we're talking about, the state capture, should not stop law enforcement agencies from doing what they should be doing. So I'm saying that principle should apply here, notwithstanding what the portfolio committee is doing. But I do think, in support of what Honorable Sengwa and Mente are saying, if there is evidence, we should ask the law enforcement agencies to continue with that. The third point that I'd want to make, Chair, and then I think you alluded to it, the fact that this is politics, things change overnight. I do think that either yourself and the chair of the portfolio committee are duty-bound to brief the new minister on exactly what is happening. I just don't think he should be going into this thing, even if he knows on his own. But I do think as Parliament we should be going there and saying, these are our major concerns, because he won't be part of the Commission of Inquiry. And even if he is, what value would he add, because he's only come in last night, literally. So I do think that you are duty-bound, the two of you, or at least some delegation, if you don't want to go and brief Minister Mgwinti of the real problems that we have here, especially that we have a concern that this department could well be a bankrupt institution, as things stand. If it's not a going concern, how do we take it? So those are the three points that I'm making, Chair, that somebody must urgently go and talk to Minister Mgwinti. Let's support the portfolio committee, and let us jointly, or not jointly, simultaneously consider some matters that there could be dealt with by the law enforcement agencies. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, sure. Comrade Shimon.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I couldn't agree more with what other colleagues have said. Just as to say, Chairperson, it pains me and probably maybe the South Africans out of what is happening in this department. In terms of what I wanted to suggest, Chairperson, when you both, the two Chairperson, as Comrade Vincent has suggested, that you brief the minister, which I believe as well the acting director is his work to also to brief the minister. But just also to couple it, Chairperson, that some other people should be fired. We can't just wait for the inquiry to finish. If we want to move on, Chairperson, people should be just be identified, be suspended or be fired, because they are going to hamper whatever progress that we want to take off. Because if a person is inside, then the problem is that things will not be able to move. So I will suggest, Chairperson, that whoever who is responsible should be suspended or be fired, and then the inquiry will come, will establish whatever that it is. Excuse me. Because I'll believe, Chairperson, that is why I was saying, I don't know in terms of the rule, how do you force a person to speak? Because the problem is that the department has been coming here, they don't want to speak, they don't want to open their mouth, yet they are being paid. So in terms of the inquiry, probably they'll be able to speak, I don't know. But then to say that, Chairperson, people will just come here, and the worst part of it is this one of borrowing the money. That one, I think, is a criminal offense. And my worry is that all these other things that have happened, they have been under the watch of the National Treasury. Why do National Treasury allow a department to go and borrow, yet they've spent only 28% in terms of their budget? So the money is technically lost, Chairperson. So people need to be fired, people need to be arrested. That's my take, Chairperson. Thank you.
Right, Comrade Kagan.
No, Chair, I fully support that is the department and the colleagues that have spoken. That is before. But the other thing is we need to look at the root cause of this department. When I was making preparations for this meeting, I discovered that, to be honest, there's no department here. You can't have a department that since 2008 it had 7 DGs. That clearly indicates to you
that there's nothing there. You see? Nothing, nothing, nothing. And you look at the way they operate. These officials, they are very clever or intelligent in that they don't want to respond.
Let's say they are cunning.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to respond because they don't want to implicate themselves. Not that they are stupid. You could see even their body language when you ask them questions, that they are hiding something. Very, very, very intelligent. I think if we are to have an inquiry, maybe that can force them, that is to respond on some of these issues. And maybe what the president promised us in terms of the reorganization, that is of the departments, if that can also be considered. Because having these people and this department, unfortunately, we are just wasting time. And I agree with Tlengwa. Calling them back again, that is to the meeting, we are not going to achieve anything. And Vincent is correct. Let's suspend that is our engagement with them until such time that there is this inquiry.
Right.
I think maybe in that we'll be in a position to get something out of this issue.
Chair, obviously I support all forms of accountability, so I would support a call for a commission of inquiry. I do, however, would just like to, you know, in terms of who participates in that inquiry, if you want scope of support, would you want some of our scope of members who have done a lot of research and work on this department to participate in such an inquiry? I think that's important if you have people who have done the hard yards in digging information. And then also some of them, like myself, not necessarily want to participate, but I have a lot of information that would be very useful, particularly in regard to the Deputy Director General, Marty.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. The Chairperson, just with regards to the serious allegations, and the two allegations that stands out for me in terms of the presentation by the committee, and thank you for that presentation, is the illegal overdraft. That is a very serious offence, in my view. And then also the underspending or overspending. If you have a budget of 14 billion, you suddenly spend 16 billion, but you only achieve 28% of the targets. It's an indictment and a disconnect that is that we don't easily see in terms of inefficiency. So that needs to be investigated. But these are allegations, Chairperson, and I would like us to take the decision that we're hoping Treasury on their opinion of what happened and what was the condonement, if anything happened, did they consult with Treasury and to what extent. And then also the AG. I think the AG should play a prominent role because I can clearly see from our documents that there was contestation from the department with the AG, but I think we need to rope in the AG on their opinions. And based on more evidence, I would then support that we have a full inquiry, but not only a full inquiry, and I agree with my colleagues, that we extend the inquiry into immediate law enforcement action. And then in terms of the Act, the Prevention and Combating of Corruption Act, which is Act, I think it's 2004, Act 12 of 2004, it is quite true that we are obligated to lay a charge at the police station if you are aware of any fraud and corruption. And I believe that this is time that the committee should stand up and that we should take very serious action in terms of this act and the obligation that we have to stop corruption. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, no, the thing for now would be to take a decision. Yeah, I'm not issues one of money a corner. What we wanted as a committee was to hear from the portfolio committee, and I think that has been helpful. As you know, in this committee, we use popular democracy. So I all comrades make input, and then we come to a decision. And also, soon to a decision. I think information is enough for us to say this is what we want to do as a committee. Well, in the first instance, I want to thank you, comrades from the Portfolio Committee, and to say that I think as a committee we would want to support the institution of an inquiry.
And we, because we are equally seized with these matters, we can work on the modalities, but we would want that the two committees jointly engage in this inquiry. So all members of SCOPA will be there and will participate, and everybody else will participate. We can work on the modalities, the scope and the areas and all that kind of stuff. To say yes, whilst doing the inquiry, the issue around, you know, criminal inquiries should not stop. Should actually be pushed that the law enforcement agencies must do their work. And two, I also agree, Comrade Chair, that maybe we should make an appointment with a new minister before he's briefed by this. Okay, let me withdraw that. Let me start. We should make an appointment with a new minister so that he can be briefed by us before he's misled by those who are guilty of doing all these things. And I think we equally need to engage with Treasury just to get clarification on what has transpired. This part you call overdraft may just need to check, because going beyond budget, that's unauthorized expenditure. Have they gone beyond unauthorized now to look for an overdraft? And then we could check with the Reserve Bank, but maybe that could also be part of the inquiry of the Reserve Bank. But the reality, comrades, is that it is our people on the ground who are going to be hit hard. We live in a water-stressed country where the management of water and the provision of water has to be viewed as a very strategic process. And water provision or access to water should actually be escalated to part of the risks, national risks. Because when people don't have water, then what? You know, so it is our people, and I think that's what we're saying last year when we're dealing with the accruals, to say, but what would be the impact of annual light? They said, no, people just finished their projects quicker than we had anticipated, so we paid them. So come the next financial year, no, that money is going to be, you know. And yet they knew that it was lies, shameless lies, which they tell to us without even blinking. But we also know that this department has a long history of mismanagement. It has a long, long, well-established history of mismanagement. I think we have now just reached the tipping point, which then requires us not to act in the normal ways, but to respond in a manner required by the challenges of our time. But I want to agree, Comrade Kekane, I think we don't have a department. I think that's the long and the short of it. And the painful thing for me as I was listening to comrades is we were down this road with Home Affairs and it collapsed most completely. We're down this road with Public Works when it collapsed completely. And here we are with Water Affairs. And, you know, comrades, let us differ if we do, but I think I have this to say. We may say whatever we have about the former Minister of Social Development, but reality is she has left the department, whatever its shape. I don't think that the former Minister of Water Affairs can say the same, that she has left a department. And in as much as it is the President's prerogative to decide who serves in his cabinet, with this, it does raise a legitimate question about what suitability. I mean, the SABC is slowly emerging out of a crisis. is it going to be plunged into a crisis again? I think these are fair and realistic questions to be asked. That Minister Nomvula Mokonyane, who was the minister of this department, who sat here, justified and explained away all the rigmarole that was going on in that department, is now Minister of Communication. I think what has come out today is actually a slap on what was announced yesterday. If yesterday's announcement was done tonight, I doubt if she will still be in cabinet with this. Irrespective of what the political dynamics are. Because I said SASA affects 17 million recipients, but water affects all of us. All of us. It is far more strategic than any other department because it affects everybody. And that department has been effectively destroyed. So, I don't know, but of course, strange things happen in politics all the time. There we are. But I'm just emphasizing the point that we must make that point very firmly and strongly. That if we have a new dawn, then it must reflect in how we do and the choices that we make and how we deal with issues of the public. So, I think we're on the same spot. We want to thank you very much, comrades, because we'd have continued flogging a dead horse, thinking we're going to get some answers. So I want to suggest, comrades, that we allow them in, and in two sentences, there's no need to waste any more words. Inform them that we're going to hold this hearing. It is not going to happen next week. It will happen on the day of the inquiry. Can that be fine, comrades? Okay, just a minute.
Chair, I'm not sure of the mechanics, and I rely on my senior colleagues. If an who agrees to an inquiry? Is it Honourable Froelich? But if that doesn't happen, what's the backup plan? If we are refused an inquiry, where do we go there? Because I just want to know what the plan B is, you know.
Okay. Choke.
No, I think in this regard, Chair, the Parliament has already passed the resolution in our BRRR report. That there must be an investigation. So we just have to reinforce that process. In fact, that to start now, to be very honest with you, because the resolution of Parliament is there, already adopted by all of us in the National Assembly.
Yes, Comrade Chair.
The BRR report that Mr. Chauk is making reference to is underway for distribution. With all of those recommendations.
Okay.
They are very straightforward.
Okay.
The other last point I wanted to... that should be fine.
Okay.
Maybe just in passing, again, as a re-emphasis. We last time we had this SCOPA session, I think it was sometime in September last year. There was an issue raised about the three DDGs that were under suspension. Two of those, whilst we were being reported that they are still under suspension, two of those, they were present in the meeting.
All right. Okay. So Please. Okay, join the dots, Ross, and then Chauke, briefly, and Kekan, and then we, please.
My colleague Tim has asked a valid question as to the investigation, but I would like to ask the question with regards to the extension to the law enforcement agencies and a possible corruption charge. Who is dealing with that? Is it the are we going to meet as a joint committee, or is it are we mandating the chairpersons of the committee to deal with that? The extension to the law enforcement, and in terms of the Act of Prevention and Corruption Act, and who's dealing with that specifically, to see that there's momentum apart from the investigation following.
My understanding is that we will need to liaise in terms of the operationalization, looking at the details, looking at the issues, looking at the processes, and then agreeing which must be referred criminally, which must be done what. So I think that will be handled. Yes, Joe.
Maybe just to share again with the committee is that the special investigating unit already is investigating some of the issues, especially again Project 2. So it's easy because what we resolved in the last engagement with the special investigating unit was to invite the Hawks to come to our meeting because there were certain actions that were not being taken by the Hawks themselves. So I think with regards to the BRRR report, it outlines all the issues that need to be investigated. And it becomes easy on issues of a public finance management. You know your regular expenditure, how you deal with it. And we are able to refer it directly, in fact, to the law enforcement to investigate such matters and take action. So it's clearly in the law. In fact, you will not have a problem to deal with a fruitless or wasteful expenditure.
Okay.
And then there's a process in which you deal with the regular expenditure. So those processes, in fact, we can then refer the irregular expenditure and fruitless expenditure directly, in fact, we investigated by the law enforcement.
Okay, all right. Comrade Kikan, I really want to close.
No, Chair, I was going to suggest exactly what you said, that the two chairs must meet and you develop a plan as to how are you going to deal with this issue. That is with very clear time frames. Because, you see, the biggest problem that we have in Parliament here, we take decisions and the implementation becomes a problem. But if we have a plan that has very clear timelines, then we'd be in a position to achieve what we want to achieve.
All right. Okay. No, thanks. Commitment is the very, very last one.
No, it's in the same breath as Comrade Kekana. Can you please meet perhaps today or tomorrow? But within this week, can you communicate to all of us as to what is going to happen when? When are you meeting Matagata, SIU, or the police station, and Frolic? So that if we also have to take a resolution as SCOPA and table it in the NA, it is the NAPCC sits on Thursday. It's scheduled in the NAPC for next week.
All right. That's fine. Tumbi, can you call them in? Talk about that job. Good. 2X.
on it.
If you don't mind.
Not a problem.
Okay, comrades, Acting DG and your colleagues, welcome back. My apologies that we took hopefully more than 10 minutes. I think time stopped sometimes, and somehow we. But you know, in this committee, we exercise popular democracy, so we engage and engage and engage, so that we come to a decision that we are all in agreement. Acting DG, the decision that we have taken is that maybe we should not continue with this engagement today and two, that we should not have it next week as well. But rather that we will combine effort with our comrades in the portfolio committee to engage with you in a proper way, as outlined in the BRRR report, that would seek us to put aside quite some time to be able to talk to these matters, not just the Giani project, but maybe on a much, much wider scope and depth, because it is our sense that we are seeing a repeat of what we saw with Home Affairs some years back and Public Works a few years ago. We are of the unfortunate view that the department has reached a tipping point in terms of its ability to stand up and say it is a department, it is a functional department. There is accountability, there is leadership, both administrative and political. And I want to say before you that I have said I found it very unfortunate that the announcement of yesterday happened last night and not tonight, because your political principle, in light of this, did not deserve a horizontal movement. That's a political view. It has nothing to do with you, your officials, but just for your ears, so that you have a full appreciation of the sense of outrage that is this side about the state of things on your side. So I think we'd want to leave it at that. So we shall meet at some point in the near future. But I do want to allow the Auditor General's office to have a word. Gentlemen.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members and colleagues. My name is Andries Segeto from the Office of the Auditor General. I'm the Business Executive responsible for, amongst others, the Water and Sanitation Portfolio. On my right-hand side is Mr. Stephen Clay. He's the Senior Manager responsible for the WTE-specific audit. And on my left-hand side is Ms. Suret Talyard. She's the Senior Manager responsible for the department or the main accounts-specific audit. Honorable Chairperson, just on the matter and specifically related to the irregular expenditure, the committee would be aware that between ourselves and the department there was a dispute that was lodged pertaining to the actual outcomes. A lot of the dispute was specifically related to the irregular expenditure, which is also was planned to be up for discussion here today. Just some feedback in terms of that, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, is the fact that after a process, an independent process by our office, the factualness of the finding was confirmed to be appropriate in terms of the evidence that was provided at that point in time based on the process as follows. The department has subsequently again just lodged an appeal process on that outcome, which is currently underway at the office. Then we have also had an engagement last week after the budget vote speech with the previous minister, where our principal, or my principal, Mr. Makwetu, met with the minister to sort out some relationship issues. I think the details of that was discussed and an amicable solution was resolved. However, the actual details of the findings is still not being resolved. Honourable Chairperson, I think from our point of view, we are engaging and accommodating the department as far as possible. But however, at some point we are going to have to reach some form of finality, because there is an impact on the 17-18 financial year as well. Because if you are disputing the findings, you sort of put yourself on the back foot, because you're not able to implement corrective action and plans, and then you run the risk of maybe incurring similar findings again in this financial year. And I think that's a slight concern for us, but it has been raised with the department, and those engagements are continuing. Thank you, Chair.
All right. No, that's fine. Thanks very much. I think as individuals, yes, but as a department, I think they have no capacity to appeal anything. I don't think so. But anyway, let's leave it at that. Thanks very much, comrades. We're meeting at 6 o'clock this afternoon with this evening with basic education. So 6 o'clock, we're meeting here. Thank you very much.
Sorry, members, the copies of the PRR report are being circulated for members. If you don't mind just getting a copy before you leave, with all the recommendations.